I've given you the title, God's Wake-Up Call. Three times in the verses we read so far, part of it was earlier, God says, awake, awake. It's there in chapter 51 and verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength. Then verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. And then chapter 52 and verse 1, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Three times we hear of this wake-up call, awake, awake. The first one is actually the people saying to God, wake up. Verse 9 of chapter 51. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. It's the people telling God to wake up. Bit of a strange thing to come across, isn't it? So that's in response, isn't it, to what we looked at before. God's call to them to listen. Reminds them of his salvation, he reminds them of his great promises, he reminds them of his plan of salvation and where things are going. And the people respond then and say, wake up then, God, awake, awake, O arm of the Lord. Come on, God, do what you promised, is the gist of it. We might think that sounds a little presumptuous, to pray to God, wake up, God. But he doesn't tell them off for it. It might be a little bit presumptuous, but they are faithful people, as we've looked already. They do seek after him. They do want to seek his kingdom. And in some ways, it's quite a good prayer that they pray. Verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. They turn back, just like God told them, to look at the past. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart? Rahab, sort of a funny word to call Egypt by, from the olden days. And you wounded the serpent. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, and made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? Look, they say, wake up, God. Remember what you did before. Are you not the same God? Are you not the arm that cut off Rahab? Are you not the one who dried up the sea? They remember God's promises that he would do those things to his ancient people, even for them who are living in captivity. They're remembering God's unstoppable salvation and his promises. And so they carry on their prayer, verse 11, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return. This is their prayer. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. They pray his promises. They're confident that it will happen. They pray for God to wake up and act. And God listens. He listens to their prayer, a little presumptuous as it might have been. And he responds, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Verse 12. Possibly the repetition of I is to emphasize the fact he doesn't need to wake up. I, even I am awake. They didn't need to pray, wake up. It's I am awake. I am carrying out these things, and I'm the one who comforts you. He doesn't rebuke even their quite a little bit of a presumptuous prayer, perhaps, that they have. But he comforts them, because they are praying from good reasons, and they're doing it in a good way, and they're praying for good things. I'm the one who comforts you, he says. He listens to their cry. He tells them not to fear. They don't need to be afraid, as we've looked at some of these things already. We've referred to some of those verses so far. And again, in verse 16, I put my words in your mouth. A little bit cryptic there, but I think that's probably another reference that we've looked at before to the servant who had come. More of that in chapter 53, of course. I've put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand. Those are the kind of phrases he's used in the previous chapter to talk about his servant who would come. But to say it doesn't have a great major feature here in these verses. But God responds to them asking him to wake up by turning the table on that and telling they should wake up instead. Verse 17, as we carry on, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. God responds to their prayer. He brings them comfort in a slightly strange way. He's the one who's waking up this rather lethargic people, these people who are somewhat afraid and introspective, as we thought already. And God calls them, awake, awake. Now there's three things he wants them to wake up to. Wake up to your deliverance. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who've drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. This phrase, the cup of the fury, again, is an Old Testament picture of that wrath, that anger that God has against sin. And they felt a bit of that anger. They've been disciplined. They've been punished. They've been exposed, at least in a small way, but they think they've been exposed quite a lot to that wrath that they deserve. They've been given this cup to drink, a cup of fury. He carries on in verse 18 about the, you know, it's about the effects of that and so on. But he says to them in verse 22, "See, I've taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it." Wake up to your deliverance. Wake up to your deliverance. They had experienced something of the wrath of God. They'd been disciplined. They'd been punished. They'd gone off into exile. They'd lost. They thought the promised land lay far behind them. The temple had been demolished. Everything had come to an end. They'd lost it all. They'd felt punished. They'd felt exposed to God's holy anger. But God says, wake up. I've taken it away. For a time, yes, you were being disciplined. Yes, you were being punished. But I've taken that cup away now. I've taken it away. It's actually been passed on to your enemies and the like. Isn't that something that echoes even in a greater, richer sense in a New Testament way? Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed about this same sort of cup, didn't he? He prayed, "Not my will, but let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but yours." And we as Christians, those of us who are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to wake up to our deliverance. That cup has been drunk by Jesus. As we sing sometimes in one of our hymns, "The price is paid." Hallelujah. Wake up to your deliverance. So often as Christians can be in the dark, in the night, before we've woken up. See how the picture works. And often, as say in the Bible, the darkness, the night is a picture of despair and doubt. The time of darkness is when evil reigns and Satan has greater power, perhaps. And so often we as Christians can feel like we're in the dark, that we're half asleep. We're despairing. We're doubting. The devil's troubling us. The devil's making us afraid. The devil's reminding us of our past sins. The devil's condemning us. Wake up, says God. Wake up from the darkness. Wake up to your deliverance. The cup of God's wrath has gone. Jesus has drunk the cup of his wrath. If we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. However much the devil reminds us, God doesn't. God's forgiven us those things. He says he'll remember them no more. That cup of wrath that the devil threatens us with. If we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then by faith, he's taken that cup. He's drunk the last bit out of it. There's no more price to pay for us. He's paid it all already. As Charles Wellington said in his hymn, "No condemnation, now I dread." Isn't that what the devil wants us to do? Dread. He dredges up all this filth from our past, all our sins, all the sins we still commit, all the thoughts and so on that go on our head. He dredges it all up, condemning us again. Wake up, Christian, to your deliverance. Secondly, wake up to your new status. Chapter 52. "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments." O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. The pictures of a slave girl, chains round her neck, sitting in the dust, despised. And God says, wake up. Put on your beautiful garments, take off the chains, get up from the dust, sit down properly, where you belong. Put on your beautiful garments. The word is holy. Put on your holy garments. It's a reference in many ways to Exodus 28. After they've been building the tabernacle and so on, and they make special clothes for Aaron and the priest to wear, and they're referred to as the beautiful garments, the holy garments. They're white and so on. And that's the picture here. God says, put on these beautiful garments. You're not the slave girl anymore. Now you're my daughter, the holy city. Put on these white robes, the white robes of a priest, being accepted in God's sight. It's a picture, of course, isn't it, that's taken up so many times in the book of Revelation. Whenever you meet God's redeemed people in the book of Revelation, they're wearing white. They're wearing beautiful garments. Wake up, says God, to your new status. In the dark nights, when we're half asleep, the devil reminds us, and we're all too aware of how dirty we are. We're aware of the things we've done. We're aware that even our present attempts, our righteousness is like filthy rags. We're reminded of our filth, our dirt. Wake up, says God, to your new status. Wake up to who you are now. Isn't that something we need to be reminded of? That we've been justified by his blood. We are righteous in his sight. Not righteous because we're really good at being right. Of course not. But we're righteous because we're clothed in his righteousness. Wake up to your new status. The devil can try and condemn us. The devil will trouble us. The devil will remind us. But wake up to who you are. If you're a believer, those dirty rags are taken away. You're clothed in holy, beautiful garments already. And that picture of that wedding feast that Jesus talked about in the parable, and these robes that were given to everyone who came in. If we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, those filthy rags have been taken away. We've been dressed instead in white robes. We keep referring to Pilgrim's Progress because we did it at camp, and we're dipping in and out of it a little bit in our Bible studies in the week. The same happens to Christian, doesn't it, in the story? He goes to the cross in John Bunyan's story. Burden off his back, rolls away down the hill, and the angels come and they dress him in white. It's a strange thing, he says, how this white stays white. Almost like one of those strange cleaning product adverts, isn't it? But it's white that stays white. Whatever filth the world tries to fling at us, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're clothed in white. Clothed in his righteousness, not ours, his. And we're dressed in it, we're justified in his sight. Wake up to your new status. And lastly, wake up to a certain future. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. The watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. There comes this wake-up call again. It's not a wake-awake this time, but it's this voice of the watchman. Those who would stand guard in the dark, of course, in the nights. These watchmen take up the cry and sing. Messengers come across the mountains with the news of redemption. the news of restoration. It's pictured here in terms of Jerusalem. It was going to happen in the future. The Lord will redeem Jerusalem. He will come and so on. But it's certain. The voice goes out, the messengers come, scampering across the hills with blessed feet that carry good news. They come with this message of worldwide salvation. Verse 10, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's what's happening, this promise of worldwide salvation. It will be achieved by the servant of the next couple of verses in chapter 53, this servant who would suffer, who would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And everyone will see it. It's certain. Wake up to a certain future. Of course, we look at it from a different point of view from Isaiah, and we see how all of those things have come true. How he did send his redemption to Jerusalem. He did send his servant there to suffer and to bring salvation that would reach to the ends of the earth. All of these promises have come true in some way, and still will, as God brings those things to his culmination. All his promises are yes and amen, we're told. Wake up to a certain future. These captives there needed to remember. Needed to realize that God was going to restore them. Bring back Jerusalem. He'd bring salvation there. And it would radiate out to the ends of the earth. And so in our own way, we need to wake up, don't we, to a certain future. In that dark night, as we referred to as well, we're so easily reminded, we thought right at the beginning, of how useless we are, how fragile the church is, how vulnerable we are to the powers of darkness and the attacks of others. We're reminded of how weak we are in our fights against temptation, in our struggles. Wake up. Wake up. Carries on in verse 12, for you shall not go out with haste nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearguard. God is with us. So wake up. Wake up, because there's a certain future. I think it's what we looked at in the previous verses. A certain future that we have, those promises of what he will do in the future. Wake up, God's people. Wake up, because your God reigns. That's what we're told there in verse 7, isn't it? These people who go out proclaiming the good news, these blessed feet, these messengers on the mountains who say to Zion, your God reigns. Isn't that what we need to be reminded of? In dark days, when the church is frail and fragile, we think, when we're struggling, when we're feeling condemned by Satan, when we're struggling with despair and doubt, wake up, because your God reigns. Our God reigns. Wake up to your deliverance. Wake up to your new status. And wake up to a certain future that he is bringing. Let's close and sing our last hymn. What other hymn could we sing apart from the one that's on the piece of paper? It's a hymn that's based on these verses, Awake, Awake, O Zion. So it's not in the hymn books, hopefully, in the order of service you had one. If not, we'll try and share amongst ourselves to do it, to sing it together. Awake, Awake, O Zion, and clothe yourself with strength. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn together.